Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Hi there. Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we also have Dan Dubose, CPA, joining us once again. Dan, are you connected?
Yeah, good morning.
Okay, great. It is a good morning in your part of the world. It is a long day in mine, is what it is. It's now 11:07 here in Southeast Asia.
Say again. That would be PM there.
That's exactly right. It's coffee time again. Dan, let's go ahead and top off the disclosures, disclaimers, et cetera. As you know, if you're listening into the show today or you happen to go visit our BAPlanner.com website or BAPlannerShow, the companion site.com, it doesn't make you a client of Dan's or Nathan's or MP Ross or any of our affiliated providers until you've actually engaged, you've got evidence of that. It's usually an invoice or an engagement letter, one of the two or both. And so if you hear something you like today or think you like, you maybe you're getting ready to take action, you've been listening to the gurus. I notice we got them on all sides, Dan. I see where there's one of the platforms that advertises just in front of us, and I've got of course another one's show follows this show on Friday. So in any event, you know, if you're motivated, you're ready to take action, I would tell you that's awesome. Might want to pump the brake a little before you go spend that 20 grand or 25, whatever it's up to now at the platforms. And there are clearly reasons that some people might benefit from, well, at least one of those platforms. I don't have much to say for the value of the other one. But, you know, there's also no mandate, meaning that, you know, back in the day, a whole whopping 3-4 years ago, you really didn't have much choice because there wasn't a whole plethora of syndicators that would allow you to invest directly with them. In other words, they were syndicated apartment partnership offerings that typically were exclusive to one or more platforms. Then you had to be a member, perhaps of like a preferred investor group, which is what several of them call that group. And you know, it can seem like quite a lot of cash, and it is, but again, there are reasons. I'm happy to discuss it with anybody that's thinking about it, and won't charge you. This will all be on my dime. I'd like to see you get whatever the best fit is with your circumstances, and I can be very objective because I'm not charging you a big fee to tell you my experiences. And I've been member of both the two leading Houston-based platforms, so I do have a bit of knowledge base over the 20 years that I've known both of the founders of those organizations. But in any event, if you hear something you like, go talk to your advisors. If you don't have advisors that understand real estate taxation plus syndicated partnership, private partnerships plus retirement planning, etc., go to our website, beaplanner.com, and go to the top right link. It's client forms. I believe it's top right. Maybe it's next to the far right. And fill out those forms. And then right next to it is a call scheduler link. You're welcome to schedule a call. And Dan and I will be happy to discuss your objectives with you and see if we can sync up and help you achieve those. The biggest thing we do, we don't sell these investments. We don't invest your money. We're an accountant. We're not a magician. And we don't see the future, but we can see the pro forma information, the math, if you will, and tell you whether or not you know, the math is correct and whether or not the math is rational and in terms of hitting the desired outcomes. And we'll let you help you understand what you're signing up for, in other words. And we also understand how taxes work on these investments, and we'll, you know, share with you what to expect. So in any event, easy to find us, baplanner.com, and top right are our client forms. Dan, did you have anything to add to this brief discussion about the old school investor mentor platforms that I mentioned?
You caught me off guard with that question. I just know that there's plenty of things out there to find to invest. I discovered a new one this week as far as an offering of for investors, you know, passive investing, and it's in
was it apartments or industrial or
what car washes? Car washes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He really had a really pretty write up about why it's a good thing. He did mention multifamily in the article as well. I just think it's so interesting that there's so many out there that are offering, you know, minimum investments $35,000-$50,000 real estate that pay really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of genres of real estate, but that one is more of a business than I care to bite off. And, you know, if it were just the facility, maybe. But I tell you what, as you watch what's going on in the office sector right now, where, you know, a lot of companies have figured out they don't really need that physical office space, or they need a lot less than maybe they were biting off before. It's kind of hard to do that when it comes to your bed at night, right? I mean, everybody's got to have a place to lay down. And I tell you what's going on in the office market right now is just absolutely catastrophic. And I don't think we've seen the worst just yet. But
the big city names are giving properties back. And we read that recently about the one in Atlanta, Georgia, where one of the big operators, multi-rental businesses gave back on a $212 million loan, you know, on an office building there. I mean, that's just astounding that kind of stuff is happening. But it's because people are just saying, I don't want to work in an office anymore. I don't have to. You know, as much as the boss tries to get you back there, they're still staying out, staying home.
Well, it's that, and it's, you know, lower NOIs, lower valuations, and, you know, the guys that actually bought those things, most all of it's qualified non-recourse debt, and so they're saying, hey, here's the keys, Mr. Lender. Maybe you can do better. And, of course, they can't. And there's been, I mean, just dramatic lower valuation. And there's some that hit close to home. I think we discussed, or maybe I was on alone that show here 2 or 3 weeks ago, where Greenway Plaza is in the midst. I believe they're getting ready to be foreclosed on if it hadn't happened already. And those are some quality assets. I mean, those are some real quality assets.
Yeah.
And, fact, I think I just saw where, is it Perry Homes, that their name has just gone up on, I think it's the Phoenix Tower, which used to be the poster child back in the mid-'80s, in 85, in that time frame, where we had one of the worst real estate debacles in my lifetime, certainly. But in any event, you know, you look at San Francisco, of course, is far worse. But everywhere, when the NOI goes down, the cash flow goes down, the valuations go down, and so as debt renews, or if there's rate modifiers, mortgage reserves, et cetera, it's just it's a whiplash. You know, it's catching you both ways. But anyway, well, Dan, looking at the just had a few articles we had time to get up for today at the resources page on BAPlannerShow.com, and I know one of those you'll want to talk about is the Wall Street Journal article about do higher deficits cause inflation? And the answer is not this year. Why is that? I'm assuming you looked at that article and you see what some of the push points are.
You know, I'm trying to find that article as you speak.
Again. Well, it's on the, BAPlannerShow.com, go to resources, and it's the second article on at the top there, if you can navigate. I know you've probably got 85 windows up on your system like I do. But anyway.
Nathan?
Yeah.
I don't have it.
You don't see it? Well, we'll circle back to it after we take our first break. I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break, and I will we'll pick up on this topic when we come back. It is an interesting view given the current state of affairs. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BAPlanner.com.
Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many
just like me.
With big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to the second segment of this week's Be a Planner show. I'm here talking with Dan Dubose, CPA, and we were just getting ready to discuss an article that was in the Wall Street Journal this week about why higher deficits this year are not going, it doesn't appear, are going to lead to increased inflation. And Dan, did you get your hands on that article yet, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. The you know, it all started back in the 2019-2020 period when they started, the government, federal government started throwing money at people. What was that, a total
yes.
of about $3,000 over 2 years to the whole world,
yes,
it seems like. I mean, that creates...
The economy what? Was awash in cash, was it not?
Awash in cash.
Yeah, and what is it looking like right now? What's the, that's a big difference in what's going on right now, correct?
Yeah, way down. And, you know, the people are not spending or have spent that money. You know, the annual rate.
Well, you know where tax – well, first of all, tax collections are down. What is it, 200 and – 78 billion, or that's just the non-withheld tax revenue. But anyway, tax revenues overall are down. But guess what's not down, Dan? The spending that is occurring, guess where a lot of it's going? A big increase this year, if you'll recall. Your favorite topic.
Social Security?
Interest on the debt. And so... It's different when the government spends money, interest on the debt, than when they're putting it into stimulus payments, right, and dropping it into our bank accounts. Big, big difference in terms of the impact on inflation. And so those are the two things that I took. Now, I just read that article hurriedly, but 2021, the government brought in a – I'm going to read a paragraph here. The government brought in a record-breaking tax haul from taxpayers reporting their realized gains. Net capital gains, this is staggering. Net capital gains among U.S. taxpayers increased by 67% to roughly $2 trillion in 2021. A lot of taxes were due on that, right? And... So anyway, but 2022 is a bird of a different feather, apparently. But anyway, let's see, Dan, what do we want to do next? I guess the oil price article. Let's see here. I hope this isn't in the Wall Street because I didn't make... Or I didn't get a password in. Okay, I got it. It's not. It's Forbes. Did you get a chance to look at this, Dan? Because there's been news just in the last couple of days, and that may be what triggered this article. This article came out on the 5th. Crude oil prices rose to the highest level. Did you get a chance to pull that up, Dan?
Yeah, you know, Russia and Saudi Arabia both cut back on their production.
Well, that's one of, yeah, that was one of the issues, and that's probably the biggest driver. And then let me think, there was something else that, I don't know if it was mentioned here, but it was something I saw somewhere. What's this? There's two big issues. That's the probably the biggest one, although it'll be interesting
and
to
Biden,
see. If,
Biden shut down drilling. Or
oh, that's what it
in,
was. The right, the Arctic. Yeah, how much it was like? Just an incredible amount of acreage. Was it 10, 2 million or 20 million? Something couldn't be
yeah,
20 million. I mean, Alaska's
million.
A big place.
It was huge.
Yeah. And it's like he did it the same day they announced the I don't want to call it OPEC. It's part of OPEC. It's probably two of the most important members of OPEC agreeing. And, you know, you got a good business when you can cut your production and take in more money. That's a pretty good business model, right?
and then it drove the stock market oil prices, our stock market oil stocks.
Yeah,
to,
futures.
Some new prices, some higher prices as well. So,
sure.
I mean, they're
sure
going to be making more money too.
Well, you know, we've got some clients. I'm thinking of one of them that I was just on the phone with earlier this week that was talking about how, you know, the prices had gone up a bit and then they kind of dipped. And boy, it was within probably a few hours after that I saw that news and I thought, man, you know, some people are living right. But, you know, all the landowners that get those checks every month, royalty owners, boy, I tell you, these are good times when they're back up. I think the projection is they'll be 100 or higher per barrel. Probably for some sort of sustained period.
This article mentions $95 to, you know, pretty quick, jumped it.
Yeah.
And that's high. I mean, that's a lot of money. Yeah, we got it over $100. What, early 22, I guess it was, but it's still, it's still high. Yeah. I noticed when I filled up yesterday, it was almost $4 a gallon here in Houston, Texas.
Oh, wow. I don't, that's hard to believe that it's worked its way back up. And, of course, that has nothing to do with Bidenomics or energy policy or any of that. All the regulations that have just kicked in and industry after industry, it just they'll never learn. They'll never learn. And
we got to try and teach them still, though.
Yeah, that's true. Let's look at that last article real quick. Landlords start to nickel and dime tenants with fees. I thought this was already happening. This article is making it seem like it's new. I know a lot of syndicators that these are value add items that they're nickel and diming, according to this article. You know, trash pickup, pest control, use of a mailbox, etc. As one attorney says, this is in Minnesota, a lot of this stuff just used to be called rent. And now it's gravy, I guess, is the term they use in the article. And I don't know, some of this stuff, when you talk about a valet trash pickup, I think that's justified. Pest control, I don't know. I mean, I think you're taking a chance as a landlord or an owner, Dan, if you say, well, we're not going to treat pests anymore unless you pay us. Because, you know, pests don't seem to recognize the borders or the boundaries or the walls that separate the units, right, in a given building of an apartment. And I will say that at one time I lived in a townhome complex up off 1960 where we have those big old pine trees. And, boy, could they harbor some of the biggest roaches you've ever seen. And, you know, I ran across those little sonic devices. I'm sure you've seen those things, Dan, at Home Depot or Costco, you know, where you can buy a pack of eight or whatever. And I don't know if you've ever looked into the science behind those, but there's a lot of PhDs that say it is a bunch of hooey and that it doesn't do anything. You know what I'm referring to, right? You ever use those devices?
I never used them because I thought they were a bunch of hooey.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't used to believe in ghosts either, okay, until I had a close up and personal with one, and that's another story. But I used to think people were cuckoo that would mention that. But These pest control devices, the story goes that, you know, the pests adapt. If it works at all, it's short-lived. Well, okay, I'm gonna tell you, that may be, but, you know, I had no roaches, no bugs on coming from either side, apparently. And maybe it was just good exterminating on those two units, but I'm going to tell you, 6 years, I didn't see one roach living in North Houston. Now, tell me those things don't work, or I guess explain what was really going on, because I just used to smile every time somebody would say something about, well, you know, those don't work, right? Well, you know what? Okay, they work for me. But again, I know we treat, you know, we exterminate constantly at our, you know, we're just off the Riverwalk in San Antonio, my properties, and of course, anything close to the river, you got it all. I mean, right up to some decent size rats that, you know, we've got the fake little mountains outside, or dirt hills that, you know, inside we hide the traps. And you know, it's not a daily occurrence, but bottom line is there's a lot of stuff that goes on around the river, you know. So anyway, I would never put that off on the tenant. There's no way. Use of, you know, a mailbox.
Pest control, you know, charging them for pest control is just really absurd. That's just, it's not right. But, and they're, you know, they talk about in this article a January fee. You know, you talked about fees and syndications at, you know, quite a bit over the years, and you start putting calling something a January fee, you know, because it's,
that's
the start
crazy
of the year, we're going to charge you an extra extra dime for this or dollar for that. I mean, that, it's just,
I don't understand what they're even talking about. I mean, is that
not, they're just grasping for straws? It's like they're trying to run their people out, almost.
Well, is that because they overstayed the lease? Is that just another way of collecting an overstay fee? I mean, I don't understand that. Is it just, hey, we're going to hit you for $100 every year, and it happens to be in January, and we're going to call it the January fee? I don't know.
Yeah. But is it in the lease? Is it written in the lease, or do you just add it at the end there because you think you can?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the other thing they've got here that I would tell you you're taking a chance by not or by adding an extra fee, routine maintenance requests. Now, I understand, and I've owned, you know, a lot of rental, single family and multifamily, and it is absolutely incredible to me what some people will stick down a sink or try to jam down a toilet. I mean, you know, Pampers, all manner of personal hygiene items, and act like, oh, well, you know, I didn't do that, you know, and I mean, come on, you know. And so when you call me for something like that, I suggest that deserves a fee, right? But if it's something that, you know, you've got a toilet that's running, hey, I'm not going to charge you to go repair that, because that's, in a lot of cases, I know we cover the water at our properties, that's, you know, potentially a lot of money if it just runs and runs and runs. So I don't know, but I guess in this day and time, you know, let me put it this way, the lenders are not bashful about raising the mortgage payment the next time the Fed raises the Fed funds rate where they can. You know, they don't have a rate lock. And so I guess as a landlord, they're just not going to be sensitive about raising rents. But I tell you what, I've seen more and more articles where the rents in Houston, as an example, are continuing to go up, and people are moving or making changes. I mean, a lot of people are. So anyway. Okay, well, Dan, let's talk about some tax planning generally, without getting too deep into the weeds. As you know, we run a little intro and I think it's on one of the ad spots about being a planner versus a reporter. You want to explain the difference, Dan?
Well, a planner is one that's taking a proactive approach to seeing the future as much as you can. You know, we do know what tax rates are today. We don't know what tax rates are going to be, you know, 20, 30 years from now from a retirement planning standpoint. Let's think about it. You know, when you're out at your 20 or 30 years away, is your tax rate going to be higher or lower than it is today?
Yeah. How about if you're 6 years? How about if you're 5 or 6 years away?
How about if you're 3 years as we speak now? Because in 25, things are going to, after 25, we got new rates that we know are going to be higher. If Congress doesn't do anything to make changes in between that expiration date of 12/31/25.
And by the way, that little change doesn't put a dent at all into the deficit. And the real problem we've got is that we're going to run out of money. We're running out of the last piece of the discretionary budget by 2030. And that's when the proverbial dam breaks, when we can't pay the interest on the debt or all of the interest on the debt. You got a problem if you're still, you know, executing budgets that have, well, if you execute a budget at all, what am I saying? You know, I'm not talking about CRs, continuing resolutions like the Congress has done for, I don't know what, the last 15 years or more, Dan? It's a long time.
Yeah, at least 15.
Yeah, and but you know, you, if you're going to spend more than you take in, we're going to be out of money to cover 100% of it. We'll be able to cover a lot of it, but if you're buying T-bills, treasury bills, are you going to take a chance when you know we're going in that some bondholders won't get paid because the U.S. won't have the money? And so there's going to be tax increases. The Congressional Budget Office has studied this issue. It's been a while. But they projected rate increases. Back in 2029, they said the rates need – I'm sorry, 2009, they said the rates need to go up of each of the three brackets we had back then by 150% each level. So, you know, 10% should go to 25, 25% should go to 63, and what was it, 37, Dan, was the third one?
39.8 okay, well, was the highest, yeah.
Okay, well, that would need to go to 80, I believe 80%. 88 was the number, yeah. So do you, I mean, you know that that's the math, and there's no magic here. You can't soak the rich to get that much money. You could take all the billionaires' money, and you wouldn't put a you know, any dent at all in the deficit, and you can only do that once, right? How many years can you get away with that? So bottom line is the middle class is where the brunt of any increase will fall, and that's, you know, for people that have high incomes or any income in terms of your annual salary or wages, not to mention if you've got pre-tax retirement funds. You know, you say, well, you know, I've got $1 million in my 401 plan. Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't, because you're forgetting the share that you're never going to see, because it's going to be taken from you before you get the distribution that you're going to start taking at some point. And what do you think the rate's going to be then? You don't know. None of us know. It's an unknown. Versus taking those funds now and executing a Roth 401 conversion, as the case may be, or a Roth IRA conversion where you're saying, hey, I'm drawing a line in the sand at this year's tax rates, and which is not such a bad deal. I mean, the current tax rates, Dan, are the lowest in most of our lifetimes. I mean, I know guys your age and my age had a few years of higher rates, but I think I was like 2 or 3 years old when the low rates kicked in. And think of it as the tax rates are on sale right now. And according to CBO, it's a big sell. What is it, about 60% off, Dan, ultimately?
And, yes, at least so, that, yeah.
Yeah, so unless you don't plan on taking those funds out because you don't have good genes, I guess, you need to be planning ahead. Do yourself a favor for however many years you've got before you pass, and then that also, getting it into Roth, helps your heirs out mightily, your legacy on who's going to get your funds. And even if you've got your money invested in syndications, your 401, especially if you've already got your money invested in syndicated apartment investments, you definitely want to move to do a Roth conversion. You don't have to sell anything. You simply... you know, we value the investment. We pay tax on that valuation. And by the way, private company investments get some pretty big discounts compared to what you paid to acquire that interest, because we've got some, you know, big discounts versus you buying Apple stock, where you can log on and sell some of your Apple shares in 5 minutes. Well, you can't do that with these real estate private partnerships. And it's a different world, but it's a better world in terms of achieving above average rates of return generally. I mean, obviously there's no guarantees, but as we mentioned earlier, everybody's got to have a place to go to sleep at night. And when you look at the performance of multifamily assets over a long time and even over a short time, even right now, I mean, we've got some headwinds. We've had some syndicators get foreclosed on because their underwriting, the due diligence they did, had some holes in it. And but that said, there's a lot of deals still coming into the market. Houston's got 21,000 new apartments that'll be delivered here within the next 12 months. San Antonio is about 18,000, and a lot of those are built by larger firms that won't allow you to invest, but you'd be surprised how many are normal people like you and I that are syndicating apartment deals, and they'll allow a, you know, 35,000 to, I don't know, $500,000 is typically a upper end, and still a lot of activity out there. And that's just in the apartment space. Industrial is going very strong. A couple other segments, the medical segment's not doing too bad. Office is one that I would say wait a while, if at all, because I think it's going to take a while for the current inventory to come anywhere near a reasonable occupancy rate. But anyway, so Dan, we were talking about planners versus reporters. So here we are, we're well into the year, you know, September, but we're way ahead of when most people go take their data to their reporter next March or so to work on the tax return for the year we're in now. Is that a good way to do it, Dan? Is that a good timing to allow you to take advantage of some of the tax rules that we can accommodate?
Yes. Yes. The you know, one of the things you talked about, of course, is the Roth conversion. That's certainly doable between now and the end of the year. There's things you can do as far as, you know, if you're invested in the stock market and you got some big gains on something, you might want to offset with some losses that may have happened in another venture or in another world, let's say. You can you can do what's called tax loss harvesting. We still got lots of time for that. Certainly, the other thing is maybe getting an LLC set up so you can set up maybe a family limited limited liability company so you can spread some of that wealth or that tax planning amongst the family with the kids or with the go up even to grandparents. You know, it doesn't have to be grandparents down to kids. It can be kids up to grandparents or kids' kids. And it's there's just all kinds of ways to do things for in the 3 months left in time, you know.
Well, maybe the point is you need to start now. Don't wait till March, because by then there's not a whole lot. There's still a few things, but not a whole lot. And especially if you're a small business owner, a consultant, a realtor, an accountant, a lawyer, anybody that has a small business, I would hazard a guess, Dan, and I see this all the time, that most small business owners are paying too much. They're not claiming certain deductions that are available to them. Do you see that in your practice as well?
Oh, absolutely we do. And that's one of the reasons we do the tax planning analysis that we do offer. It's a big deal. I mean, there's so many things out there that people have available that are not being availed. You know, if you plan it, you can make it happen and get some advantages that are just being overlooked.
Well, and most people are totally incapable. They're not tax accountants. They don't understand what they're missing. And what I would hold out to anybody that's listening to this show, that if you're curious what might be available to you, go to the website, baplanner.com, and fill out the client forms. There's four of them at that link. Just fill out the first one, and we'll get some idea. And then if you will upload, I'll give you a link to our encrypted document management portal. If you'll upload a copy of the last year or two tax returns, Dan and I can take a quick look at those, and we'll tell you, hey, you're doing pretty good. There's nothing here we see that would change your filing materially, which could be. I mean, you know, we talk about tax planning, and, you know, we don't really slow down sometimes and remind people that, hey, you've got to have the right type of activities in your tax world that would allow us to execute certain strategies. And if you don't have that, we'll be the first to tell you. We'll tell you real quick. We know exactly what we're looking for. It's kind of like a foreign language to some. Like, yeah, you know, I think of the Rosetta Stone when I think of doing this. And then, you know, that's one level where we just look at it and tell you, hey, here's three or four things. We think it makes sense. This is what it's going to cost you, and this is the benefit. And if we don't have at least a 2-to-1 ratio there, we're not going to take your project because, you know, it's a waste of your money and a waste of our time. And Dan and I are both old enough to where we value our time more than we value your money coming to us. We're behind already, and yet this has high value. And then I would also suggest to you, we actually have some systems in place, software systems, where if you're dealing with multiple income streams that you need to track real time so that you can figure out estimated tax payment requirements and things like that, that's another service that we offer, and happy to consider doing that for you if it makes sense, because again, cost justification is what we're about, because otherwise it just doesn't pay to have unhappy clients. We want happy clients that are happy to pay our exorbitant invoices because they realize that they are getting the bulk of the cream that's going to result from those strategies. So anyway, Dan, we're down to just a few minutes. I don't know if you want to talk little bit more tax planning, or should we go ahead and take a break and then come back and just touch on one of the syndications we were talking about earlier, maybe?
We certainly need to talk about at least one syndication.
Okay, well, let's go to a quick break, and we'll be back here momentarily with the last part of the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost, and I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones are made of my life, but I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost, and I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. And I hope that will tell me.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprross.com. Nathan at nprross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And Dan, let's go quickly and talk about the project that we saw out on Realty Mogul, which of course is a 506C offering, which means accredited, I'm sorry, investors only can participate. And let's talk very generally about this high level. What kind of hold period? Well, first of all, how many units is this thing? Did you know?
Yeah, we talked a lot recently about small apartments, and this one is right at the small apartment 100 unit, which I think is quite interesting. It's a very nice looking property in Arizona of all places, and seems like it's very, you know, there's a lot of activity in the Arizona stuff we're seeing on Realty Mogul, Crowd Street, and other places, but it's a very active area. It's a five-year hold. These guys have come up with a really, I think, a very good, I should say, more conservative underwriting with a 6% cap rate going out, and I think it said 5.72 going in, which is very reasonable this market these days, I believe, but Houston area for sure. But you know, they've got a fixed rate interest, which is significant these days at 5.58%. So it's on the surface, it appears like it's a well underwritten property. Very nice looking. It looks like something that could probably be lifted out of Arizona and put in Houston. It's a very nice looking property, I think.
Yeah. Well, and Dan's throwing around some technical math.
It's built in 1975, but it's very well maintained, it looks like.
Well, and Dan's throwing around some math jargon there, syndication math, as it were, cap rate, et cetera. Just if you don't know anything else, just understand the cap rate and the net operating income are the two metrics that are going to dictate what this property will sell for. And cap rate kind of mirrors the interest rate on the debt in many cases. It doesn't, you know, technically that's not the definition, but it's close. And if that goes up, you got some slim pickings as you get to the end, because everybody's planning on cashing that coupon out, called a capital gain, at the end of time. But that assumes you can sell it at a high enough price, and it's scary. You look at the office space, and again, some of those office building valuations have dropped 60-70% in the last couple of years, and that's not because the building's fallen apart. That's because the net operating income has really gone down. Dan, let's see, I was going to ask you, where this thing is in Arizona. Is it the Phoenix area?
Peoria, Arizona.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
No, right.
Yeah.
I just think it's a... You know, they've got rent increases over 5 years of 33%, which might be a little aggressive, but maybe they're, you know, it's, housing costs are up, there's no doubt, across the country, but housing as a part of the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is the housing increase of the Consumer Price Index increase is slowing. Yeah. Most people are saying these days, or most economists are saying, certainly the Federal Reserve is, anyway.
Yeah.
So it's well, I think, very reasonably underwritten property.
Yeah. Well, let's, we've only got less than a minute here, just to kind of summarize what we've talked about today. You know, tax rates, tax brackets, going to go higher. Do your planning now. Start now. In fact, if you haven't, if you're behind on your retirement wealth and you're just thinking you're going to kick it down the road a bit before you can really seriously focus on it, I'm really going to encourage you to get off the lifetime deferral treadmill that so many people are on and access your family's retirement funds. You know, you in the state of Texas, we can help you access your funds even if you're under 59 and a half and don't want to quit your job. Got to be married. So let us know if we can help on that front. And then invest in these real estate private partnerships. That's the low-hanging fruit. And you'll double your retirement lifestyle if you pick normal, decent transactions. And then we'll help you make that income tax-free for life. So anyway, don't put it off for another 10 years. Let's get started. We will be back on Sunday, 7 a.m., right
Thanks
here
for
on
listening.
700 a.m.
For another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.